Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
Hey, it's Free Talk Live. Welcome to the program. Join us here. You can bring up whatever you want to talk about. The phones are open, as they always are. Number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
And Chris.
We also are going to be joined shortly by Nobody. I see him pulling up outside as we speak. I don't know if this is his first Friday show back.
Yeah, because he wasn't here last week.
Okay, yeah. Cause
he missed it.
Yeah, that's right. He started coming back after the New Year's. So it'd be great to have him back here in the studio. Of course, phones are open, and you can join us at 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. We're going to get into the latest attack, not on in the United States on cryptocurrency, but in nearby Canada. You've got a story about that, Chris. That's on the way tonight. Plus, here's a surprise. The U.S. federal government has hit its debt limit, or is about to. Apparently, on Thursday, they're going to hit the so-called debt limit. And, of course, why they even have a debt limit just, you know, doesn't really make much sense because they just raise it every time they come close to hitting it. So it's never really done any kind of limiting. They're already over $31 trillion, the current debt limit, according to the Department of the Treasury. And welcome, Nobody. Good to have you.
Thank you.
The current debt limit, according to the Department of Treasury letter here issued out earlier today, is $31.381 trillion, and they are going to hit that as soon as next Thursday, according to Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen. CNBC reporting here that after that, the Treasury Department will begin, quote, taking certain extraordinary measures to prevent the United States from defaulting on its obligations. What do you think happens if the U.S. government defaults on its obligations?
Costs more money to get credit?
Probably nothing.
Well, they make it sound like it's going to be this big thing, and it may very well be, because it's probably that they can't pay on the Treasury bonds, would be my guess. And if they can't pay on the Treasury bonds, Pecos Mountaineer explained one night a little while back, and he's like really into the whole finance thing, that essentially causes a cascading, just a traumatic situation with like the stock markets, because there's a lot of things that depend on those bonds getting paid on time, basically. Mm-hmm. So that may very well be one of the things that happens. But of course, the small government Republicans will certainly come to the rescue and increase the debt limit.
Usually they just borrow from one of their slush funds.
Well, they get to print it, right? Like, it's just that they can't print more if they hit the debt limit, right? Because when the Federal Reserve prints money, you know, into existence, that's essentially they're buying the government's debt, right? Aren't they buying the Treasury bonds with that money, as I understand it? If they can't get Japan or China or whoever to buy the Treasury bonds, or average suckers to buy them, then it's the Federal Reserve that does.
That's the most common thing they do. The committee is the Federal Open Market Committee. yeah, I know. And they usually buy Treasury bonds, although they also are the organization that was buying up all kinds of toxic debt during the housing crunch, for example.
The Treasury is not currently able to estimate how long those emergency actions would allow the U.S. government to pay for its obligations, she said. But, quote, it's unlikely that cash and extraordinary measures will be exhausted before early June. She warned the Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, that it is, quote, critical that Congress act in a timely manner to increase or suspend the debt limit. She said failure to meet the government's obligations would cause irreparable harm to the U.S. economy, the livelihoods of all Americans, and global financial stability. if only we could actually see what that shook out as. If it actually ever
instability
happened.
Instability would be a beautiful thing.
Well, I mean, it's not as though that it's currently very stable anyway. It's a house of cards.
Yeah, well, I mean, some things are stable. Some things are kept stable by the government. For example, if you're super rich and you lose all your money, they're going to make things stable by giving it back to you.
I love how people use the word stable. It's not really stable. It's more like a predictable downward trend, right? It's kind of funny because people say, you know, things like Bitcoin are unstable, but it's like, yeah, but you're kind of missing like some of the value there. And then if you start saying the dollar is stable, like, okay, but you're missing that it's on a downward trend.
Downward trend.
Yeah,
like what,
right?
You said, like, predictable.
Right. It's
I mean, if your first derivative is a constant, that's stability, and that's just graphs as a slanted line.
Mm. She says, I respectfully urge Congress to act promptly to protect the full faith and credit of the United States. And that's interesting wording, isn't it? Faith. Right? The faith of the United States. It's got a lot of similarities to a religion.
Yeah.
We pointed this out.
Oh, yeah.
We will continue to point this out again and again. I mean, you know, all you have to do is go to your nearest courtroom to see the similarities to a religion. You've got a man in a robe, you've got icons, you've got literal pews, everybody's all quiet, they speak in hushed tones, there's this forced reverence, there's all kinds of, religious sort of rites, if you will, or you know, things that they do over and
ceremonies.
Over again. Ceremony, that's what I'm looking for. Yeah. Yellen's letter effectively starts a clock counting down how long the federal government can continue to make interest payments on its debt. So, yes,
strange clock, since there's no numbers on it, but because they can't predict how long it's going to last.
No.
So it's the crippled clock.
Congress in December of 2021 increased the federal debt limit to about $31.4 trillion. So it's been about a year. They've already hit the debt limit again, and now they're going to need to raise it again, which, of course, they're going to do. I mean, for all the talk of the Republicans being so-called small government, you know they're going to do what it takes to save it.
Yeah, they introduced a bill just a few days ago to abolish the IRS and eliminate the income tax. And
the fair tax bill.
Wouldn't it be interesting if they'd done that when they didn't know it was impossible?
Yeah.
Because
Biden's
in
office.
A couple of years ago, when Trump was in office, they held the Senate.
Yes, they did.
They held the House.
Sure did.
Or at least they were
they
very...
They had them both during Trump.
They did have both
for a time.
In the first Trump.
Yes, first half, I think, of Trump.
First half of Trump. So they had, obviously, the presidency. They could have done it, pushed it through, and made it law. The thing that they know they can't do now is push it through and make it law.
That's
the
right.
Other interesting thing about Republican watching is whenever the Democrats want to push through a crazy new bill like that $1.7 trillion omnibus bill, just enough Republicans always cross the line to get the bill passed, but no more. I imagine they like draw lots for who gets to be the unlucky
sacrificial
one.
Lamb.
Yeah.
Well, most of the Republicans will probably forget about it by election time anyway on whoever it was that crossed the line. Let's go to the phones here. We got somebody calling in here. You're on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
Cynthia,
what's on your mind tonight?
Well, two things. Number one is that we need more emphasis put on our constitutional sheriffs, those are local elections where maybe libertarians might have more clout, and that they're their primary guardians of keeping either state or federal government or county government of intruding upon the rights that you're guaranteed under the Constitution.
Yeah, and, if you hear a lot about these constitutional sheriffs, you don't really see a lot about them. You don't really see the results of the supposed constitutional sheriffs there.
Sheriff Mack, I heard him interviewed yesterday.
Is he still a sheriff, by the way?
No.
Okay, I didn't think so.
It's an honorarium at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But he's the one who held the line on the feds on the Brady Bill, right? Went all the way to the Supreme Court. No, they can't insist that your sheriff enforce the federal law. They can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was refusing to do this registration and pick up a weapon or something. So he was saying there's only maybe 5% or less of that he thinks the sheriffs are actually actively intending to be constitutional sheriffs.
That sounds like a reasonable presumption. We know there's one guy down in Arizona who is on the border. He's on one of the border counties in Arizona, and he is actually a Democrat who is in favor of immigration, although he's really a libertarian. I think he even described himself as an anarcho-capitalist or whatever, if I recall correctly. He's a really interesting guy. He called our show.
Well, he can be that once he drops the support of immigration laws, which you can't have a immigration.
No, he's against the immigration laws.
Oh, he's against the immigration laws.
He's in favor of immigration.
He's in favor of immigration. Okay,
yes, yeah.
I misunderstood. Proceed.
David Hathaway, I think, is his name, and he wrote a book.
Not the guy who was on Baywatch.
No, you're thinking of
y'all are going far afield from this topic. So,
I was giving you another example of a quote-unquote constitutional sheriff, somebody who is holding the line.
For a straight-out libertarian, you're fine with, let's call it illegal immigration for whatever reason. But the issue is that we have a contract and we're giving benefits to people who are impoverished, who are American citizens, and people with other certain criteria. And if you open it wide for anyone who wants to...
What contract? I'm sorry, you said we have a contract. What is that?
Well, we have a social contract in the sense that we're giving people benefits if they're disabled.
Yeah, I don't recall signing this.
I didn't sign this either.
Where can we see this social contract? I'd like to review it.
Your county sheriff comes in because they hold the line on illegal behaviors in those elections.
Okay, but that didn't answer my question. You said there's a social contract, and I've heard people make this accusation or make this claim before. They don't ever have any evidence to back it up, so I would like to know, Cynthia, where is the proof?
I paid in Social Security for years, right?
And now I get
a Social Security check.
That's not a contract. That's, like Chris said, they stole that money from you. And so there's no contract there, because remember, they can change the terms of Social Security at any time. So you have no contract with them.
Hmm.
They assign you a number.
They pretend they have a contract with you because...
So let's go back to that constitutional sheriff and their responsibility to make...
No, that's not. You said there was a social contract. Where do we find it? You seem to be...
I called up about constitutional sheriffs.
I know what you called about.
The line.
Let's let her proceed her...
All right, fine.
I'm curious as to where
you can admit there's no social contract. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying this sheriff doesn't sound like he's being a constitutional sheriff, but that's one neither here nor the other is that most of them.
That's because you're against immigration, right?
Pardon?
That's because you're against immigration.
I'm against people with weapons coming across our border when their government is trying to keep us from having a weapon. Yeah.
Okay. So let me just clarify what you're saying here. You support the government having weapons, stopping people from coming across the border because someone might have a weapon coming across the border?
Wait a minute. You just put words in my mouth.
Okay. I'm just trying to understand. That's why I'm restating what you said.
I'm simply defending that you don't want people crossing into territory with weapons with the intention of using those weapons when you don't even have a weapon because your government has decided that you can't have a weapon.
Well, I mean, in my case, I can't because I'm convicted on some felony charges and I'm out on bail conditions pre-sentencing. But most people in New Hampshire, besides me and nobody, can have weapons. We don't have a problem. I know you're calling from, I think, California.
There are federal restrictions, though.
But I'm actually a Texan. I got chased out of Texas illegally, criminally.
Mm-hmm. Well, Texas can have, you can have guns in Texas.
I had one in Texas.
Okay.
But I was not foolish enough to cross state lines with it.
Oh, okay.
Because I didn't know the rules here.
Right. So what's the concern about people coming here with weapons? I'm not real clear on that.
Well, my concern is that we don't have constitutional sheriffs, that we have the right to have them. It's in the Constitution. And that people need to stand up for the elections. And the most important election is who is going to be your sheriff.
Okay. Well, I mean, if more people who actually respected rights were running for sheriff, maybe we'd have more of them. But the job attracts psychopaths who want to use violence against peaceful people.
Well, you don't want violence, right? You just want them to uphold your right to be free from violence.
That'd be great.
Wouldn't it be easier just to dissolve the position?
Speaking of violence, did you know that the Pentagon...
She's not here to answer questions, yeah. Chris.
Do you know they're behind the vaccine, the COVID vax?
Who?
The Pentagon has held the contracts backing up the COVID vaccine.
Well, it really doesn't matter to me who's behind it. I mean, I'm not going to take it. I'm not going to be persuaded to take it in any way, shape, or form. I'm not interested in being an experiment. Thank you, Cynthia, for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you. The number 603-283-6160. If you call into the show, I mean, I want to have a conversation. I don't want to just have a lecture series by somebody calling in who just wants to be able to spout off and doesn't want to answer any follow-up questions, doesn't want to answer any kind of inquiry as to what their opinion is.
Yeah, it's a two-way conversation, not just a...
Right, that's what a conversation is.
Right, it's not just an outlet to speak... I mean, it is.
A podium.
Right, it's not just a podium. It's it's a conversation we're trying to have.
Yeah, and I got questions, you know. And if you want to start talking about a social contract, I want to see the evidence for it. In fact, she doesn't have any evidence for that. And then she wants to go off on immigration and, you know, start fear-mongering about immigrants who have weapons. I don't care if somebody has a weapon and they come across the border. If we're free to have weapons, then it doesn't matter. I mean, the supermajority of people that come here are looking for a better life for themselves. They're not murderers. They're not rapists. They're not a threat to anyone. No more so than the average native-born Americans are a threat.
Yeah, it's not. It's the interesting thing about it. Like, if you look at statistics, it's not like there is a disproportionate percentage of the people coming over the border who are, you know, murderers or rapists or thieves or whatever, relative to our own population. So if you increase that population, you know, it's going to be about the same in terms of like what percentage of people are murderers, rapists, and thieves or whatever.
So in other words, you'd avoid just as many murderers and rapists if you legalized abortion than if you closed the border.
Yeah. Run that by me one more time.
Legalizing abortion
would
prevent as many felonies as closing the borders.
Yeah, it's basically he's saying it has no effect.
Well, I mean, in theory, you could say that legalizing abortions are probably more likely to be done by people who don't want to have children, more likely to be done by impoverished people who can't afford to have children.
Maybe.
And if you're not raising kids in an environment with parents that actually want them to be around, there's a good chance those people may turn into dangerous criminals down the line. So you actually may reduce crime by legalizing abortion.
Freakonomics actually makes the argument that the reason for the major reason for the drop in crime after the 1970s was precisely the legalization of abortion and having fewer children raised by families that did not want them.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I never understood the conservatives who are so insane about making abortion illegal. It's like most of the people who are going to get abortions are probably your political opponents. They're more likely to get abortions. Why do you care so much?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's probably something that they can only win periodically. I mean, basically, the conservatives outlaw abortion, the liberals have more babies until they can overcome the conservatives and legalize abortion, in which case they have fewer babies until the conservatives can overcome them and outlaw abortion again.
Yep.
And then the liberals will be on the rise.
Or they could just break up, have a national divorce, and then go off and have their, you know, the liberals can have their socialist paradise and the conservatives can have their theocratic nightmare or whatever.
Vision of the future, because it sounds a heck of a lot better than the other.
Yeah,
I mean, I'll just stay here in New Hampshire, but y'all can fight it out as much however you like.
So if you go back to the story here about the U.S. hitting its debt limit as soon as this coming Thursday. They're saying they may be able to string it along until as late as June with various different extreme measures or whatever, quote-unquote extraordinary.
They didn't consider it extreme to pass a $1.7 trillion omnibus bill, though. That's not extreme.
Nope, and $31.4 trillion isn't enough, so they now want that to be raised, the federal debt limit, to go up to God knows what now, 35? I don't know. I don't know what it was raised from when they raised it to 31.4. The limit is the total amount, this is according to CNBC, of money the U.S. government is allowed to legally borrow to pay for its existing obligations. Those obligations include Social Security and Medicare benefits, military salaries, interest on the national debt, tax refunds, and other payments, according to Janet Yellen. The so-called extraordinary measures available to the Treasury Secretary free up the government's borrowing capacity. It can extend the clock for weeks or months while Congress hashes out a bill to raise the borrowing limit. Yellen wrote that the two extraordinary measures that Treasury expects to implement are redeeming existing and suspending new investments of the Civil Service Retirement and Disability Fund and the Postal Service Retiree Health Benefits Fund, and suspending reinvestment of the Government Securities Investment Fund and Federal Employees Retirement System Thrift Savings Plan. So it sounds like pension stuff. Sounds like they're going to put some pension-related monies on hold. She said Congress previously authorized the Treasury to use those measures, and et cetera, et cetera. It remains unclear whether the GOP majority will unite over its own set of demands. So, yes, this is going to be – there's going to be some political football being played here over the next several months as the Republicans will surely do their thing of saying, oh, well, if you don't do – you know, if you don't let us pass this and that, then you know, we'll have a government shut down.
Yeah, you know,
that's what's going to happen.
There is actually another solution to the problem, and that is to cut the budget. Right? Like, you don't actually spend the money. And, you know, it's funny because it's like they're talking about, like, you know, like pensions and education and stuff like that. And it's interesting. I did a little math the other day and kind of relates to this. So basically, there was a 1960s documentary I just happened to be watching on, and it was basically talking about the cost of education in it was in 1964 specifically. And I was like, okay, well, wonder what that is in today's dollars for education. And I looked it up, and
what was it in 64?
In 1964, I don't know what the number was in 1964 dollars, but in 2023 dollars, it was $1,800. Do you want to know what Croydon was spending per pupil? $28,000. $28,000 per pupil. So that's 15 times. So yeah, could we cut the budget? I'm pretty sure we could cut the budget in half, and we'd still be fine.
Well, I mean, you are talking about a local budget versus the federal budget.
Yes, but a lot of that money comes from federal.
There's
now,
a ton of waste.
Right.
Especially at the federal government level. If you want to weigh in, you can join us here at 603-283-6160. It is Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, silverlungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
USA News Update. This week's FAA system failures being blamed on human error. Officials with the FAA believe the major outage was caused by someone who didn't follow proper procedure while accessing the Notice to Air Missions system on Wednesday. The network outage led to thousands of flights across the country being grounded. People across the country, they're hoping to become billionaires tonight. The Mega Millions jackpot has surged to $1.35 billion for tonight's drawing. Infectious disease experts say a spike in illness should lead to a return of face masks. Professor Gerald Parker at Texas A&M says instead of everybody, it would only be for those who are feeling sick.
If you're sick and you have to be out, wear a mask to protect others from catching what you have.
Parker says covering your face when healthy doesn't provide protection. Dave Collins, USA News.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. Phones are open, and you can join us here. The number 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And Free Talk Live brought to you by listeners like Nelson Aquino, who is a Free Talk Live supporter of our AMPS program over at amps.freetalklive.com. Nelson's platinum level, which means he's doing, I think, at least $25 a month. Thank you, Nelson, for that. We only ask for five. So definitely appreciate the support. It helps us advertise, market, promote, and support Free Talk Live, which is right now the only revenue that we have. We have no more paying advertisers on Free Talk Live.
Well, that's not good.
which, I don't know what the reason is. Maybe it's, as we discussed a couple weeks ago, perhaps it's the fact that advertising just isn't as effective as it once was. Maybe it has something to do with the fact the federal government is targeting us. Maybe advertisers don't want to be associated with us as a result of that. But it's interesting that it all coincided with the end of the year when we were also cutting back on two entire commercial breaks per hour on the show. So we definitely need direct support. Want to definitely keep this thing going. We are at the lowest level of funding that we've had in more than 15 years on Free Talk Live. So even though we have more radio stations than we've, pretty much had generally, it's tougher times than it ever has been. So definitely appreciate people like Nelson helping us out over at amps.freetalklive.com. You can join us there as well. And it's still only $5 a month, which, $5 now isn't what $5 was, 2 years ago, right? Like, you can't even buy 12 eggs these days for $5. That's been in the news recently. I don't know if you guys have noticed the price of eggs has been shooting up recently.
Oh, do you have any idea what it was before and what it is now?
It was 99 cents.
4 dozen eggs?
Yeah, you can get what's eggs for $1, for at least 5.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's getting crazy out there. They've been discussing it in our chat room tonight over at chat.freetalklive.com if you want to join them. But please, join the AMPS program. Thanks again to Nelson for doing that over at amps.freetalklive.com. That's our Patreon. You get some perks like access to the AMP-only podcast, which has the full show without any recorded commercials. It's there every single night. amps.freetalklive.com. Let's go to Hadding calling us from Florida. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Yes, when I tuned in, you all were talking about...
Do me a favor, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Just back off your phone by a couple of inches. You probably sound a little bit better. It's a little overmodulated.
You weren't able to hear me very well on the screening, so yeah. I felt I needed to talk louder.
No, please, keep it low. We're good. We can turn you up.
Okay, well, yeah, when I tuned in, you people were talking about the paradoxical Republican support for... or opposition to abortion.
Yeah.
All right. This is something that it sort of started in the late 70s. This kind of mobilization of religious fanaticism. And it's somehow connected to neoconservatism. You watch Adam Curtis's, three-part series, The Power of Nightmares. He talks about this, how the religious right sort of came into being in the late 70s. And they've been an important factor in things like inflexible support for the state of Israel. And in domestic politics, they insist that opposition to abortion be the sine qua non of holding office for Republican politicians. Which has, in my opinion, this has been disastrous.
Yeah, it definitely has. It definitely has. I mean, they thought they were going to win all kinds of brownie points for overturning Roe versus Wade this year, and it ended up biting them in the back.
Well, I mean, I've been aware of this for a long time. Back in 1994, I knew some women that were very active in organizing for Pat Buchanan as a Republican presidential candidate when he was trying to get the nomination.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I talked to these women. I said, the really important question that's going to influence the future of the USA is immigration. That's the key thing. And when you talk about abortion, you're alienating a lot of people who might agree with us on immigration. And they were persuaded by me. They thought I was talking sense. And then they had communication with the Buchanan organization, and they found out, nope, that's not the way it goes. It has to be anti-abortion. So, they end up shooting themselves. We end up not getting restrictions on immigration because of this stupid
Well, I'm sorry. I got to disagree with you. They are also shooting themselves in the foot by not being friendly towards immigrants. I mean, there's a ton of conservative people in Mexico, a ton of Catholic individuals mm-hmm. down there who would yeah. really appreciate the Republican viewpoint on economics, but because they're not welcoming towards them as human beings, they lose a ton of potential supporters that way.
Yeah, I mean, in most of South America... And most of Central America, abortion is illegal
mm-hmm.
because
I honestly don't give a damn about that. All right, look, conservatism in the USA, if we're going to speak frankly, really has two completely separate foundations. There is a race-based conservatism, and there is this stupid religious-based conservatism. All right, now
what is a race-based conservatism?
Race-based conservatives are people who understand that demographics matter. All right, the composition of the population is of major importance in determining the future of the country.
I see. So, would you describe yourself as a racist?
I don't go around putting provocative labels on myself, but quietly, I would say, that's accurate.
Okay, so that's why you don't care about human freedom to cross borders. You think that brown people are inferior to yourself? Is that correct?
Well, they're not my people anyway. Listen,
they're not your people.
If you listen to Rush Limbaugh carefully,
he's dead.
I know he's dead now, but he was hugely popular, wasn't he?
He was huge.
He was first. So he had the network effect. That's certainly true.
He spoke what a lot of people. Well, he's kind of a little bit sneaky, but he was a race-based conservative. You had this religious stuff as kind of a veneer.
I've never heard that claim before. And he worked with a black gentleman who was on his crew every single day.
Yeah, why do you think he had a black call screener? It was to deflect criticism.
Okay,
right,
man.
Well,
that's an interesting theory. But thanks for the call tonight. The number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. The call screener he's referring to, Bo Snerdly, I think was his on-air name. I don't know what his real name is. That's probably, I'm guessing that's a radio name, probably not given to him by his parents. But when Limbaugh passed away, Snerdly wrote a very lengthy piece about, how influential he was and, that he was his friend, so. I just don't. Sorry, don't buy that. I don't know Rush Limbaugh. Right? I certainly have not spent the time listening to him to listen for whatever dog whistles that this caller was suggesting that Rush Limbaugh might have been throwing out over the decades. But I don't buy it. Somebody who is, a racist probably is not going to want to work hand in hand with somebody of a different color. I just don't buy it. But, anyway, if you want to join the show, you can hear the number 603-283-6160. And that guy's the reason why the Republican Party is in the bad shape that it is. Because he, as he said, he doesn't care about human freedom to cross borders. He doesn't care about the people in Mexico, Central America, or South America that are humans who want a better life for themselves. He doesn't care about that. All he cares about are his, white brethren or whatever, and he thinks the Republican Party has a future in race-based politics. And let me tell you, it doesn't.
Mm. Certainly not a good future.
No, it's dying right now, at least here in New Hampshire. I mean, it's literally aging out. We've all been to the local Republican meetings, and at least I know you. I think you've been to some of them.
Oh yeah, I've been.
Yeah, and the average age there is probably 65. Okay, and that's being generous.
Yeah,
they know that their time is running out, but yet they still continue. And I'm not saying they're all racist. I'm not going to go there and say that. But there's definitely some xenophobia with this particular group of people. There's definitely fear of Muslims. There's fear of immigrants. There's fear of the other. And that is not going to grow your party. The Democrats don't care about...
I don't know. I would worry if there was a vast number of Muslims moving into Keene, for example.
Okay.
Just because Well, Robert Heinlein said that any religion will, if it obtains the power to do so, will make its religion law.
Yeah, and that's a legitimate concern.
That's not quite the same thing as specifically Muslim, though.
I'd be concerned if it was Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah, any group of religious...
I gotta say, I go one... I mean, there's a significant difference between Islam and any other religion that I know of, which is Islam is the only religion I know of where their prophet was physically involved in killing people for not believing what he believed.
Was he, though?
Yeah. I mean, they were a band that was roving around Saudi Arabia and killing off other sects, especially the ones that were not monotheistic. Hmm. They didn't...
That's not how I recall the story. I mean, I can't say I'm a scholar or anything like this, and I wish we still had Will Coley here that we could just ring him up and get him on the air and talk about this.
You may not be a scholar in this department, but you are probably the best read on religions that I know anyway.
Well, I mean, I've read the Quran. I mean, I have done that.
That many people who have read the Quran.
I have done some studying on the life of Muhammad, and... My reading of it, now to be fair, I mean, I'm hearing this from other Muslims, right? So, you know, take it with a grain of salt. But my understanding was Muslims were being persecuted at that time. They were the ones who were defending themselves against being attacked and being murdered. And, yeah, they would use violence to defend themselves, but Muhammad was known for saying that if your enemy turns and runs, you are not to give chase. You are not to, you know, stab somebody in the back or whatever. If your enemy's fighting you and they make retreat, that's the end. It should end right there. So I don't. That doesn't sound like the kind of philosophy of, you know, kill them all. Just murder everyone.
It wasn't kill them all. It was force the survivors to convert, as I understand it. Mm-hmm. Now, I could be wrong on that.
I must admit
that I have not read the...
That's where some of the sects have gone. That's where the believers have gone that have sought control over the state. Certainly, they will force conversions. And this goes back to what you were saying. Any place where religion can take control of government is going to enforce its religion on other people. And these are essentially, if Will were here, Will Coley, who's an imam that was living in this area, and he was a liberty activist who was well educated on this, I think he would point out that these are essentially unorthodox people, that the people who are the Sunnis and the Shias or whatever, that these are not orthodox Muslims. They are not following the teachings of Muhammad in the same way that Christians that are cheering on the warmongering state are not following the teachings of Jesus, right? The Christians that are cheering on throwing brown people coming from Mexico into a cage or forcing them back at the barrel of a gun or something like that. These are people who are not following the teachings of Jesus. They aren't following peaceful teachings. So, I mean, all of these major religions around the world every one of them has fallen away from the teachings of its original prophets. Even some of the Buddhists have gotten away from that. You know, Buddha made the prediction that people were going, that they shouldn't, but I think he made the prediction that they were going to see him as a god and that they shouldn't. And some sects have sort of raised him above the level of a man, and that's not what Buddha wanted either. Mm-hmm. So you've had this thing happen the world around, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And, you know, the other thing about Islam is it's 700 years younger than Christianity.
Yeah.
So it's a teenager right now. It's 13 centuries old. And if you look back at where Christianity was when it was 13 centuries old, well, that was when they were having the 30 Years War in Europe, where a lot of different flavors of Christians were killing each other for being the wrong flavor of Christian.
What's new?
And so, you know, it may well be that this is what the terrible teens looks like for a religion.
All right, that was funny.
But I do agree. I don't want Muslims being in the government. I don't want Christians being in the government. I don't want a government. I don't want to have a state organization that can force somebody's religious beliefs down other people's throats. Well, let's go to Major Payne. He's in Michigan. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Major.
Yeah, I was watching one documentary, and there are some very insane sects of the Muslim religion.
Sure.
This guy was preaching. If you find somebody that's a non-Muslim walking through the marketplace, they call you a kafir, which basically means you're a cow. He says you can kill him, you can take him and sell him, you can do whatever you want with him. That's spooky.
For sure. Well, I mean, there's some insane versions of Christianity out there, too.
I mean, that was more or less the logic that justified slavery in the United States.
Mm.
They said that, black folks had descended from the Egyptians, and therefore, because the Egyptians enslaved the Jews hundreds and hundreds of years ago, it was okay to randomly... lock up their descendants.
Well, it's always been spooky in the third world countries, and they are definitely a lot closer to the third world countries than we are. But I'm, as far as Bo Snerdly goes,
yeah.
I got an interesting tale about that.
All right.
I heard it on a show just after Rush died when they were doing reminiscence and whatnot. And his original call screener that was with him for like a couple years was named Bo something or another.
Okay.
And so every call screener he had after that had to pick another acronym, Bo whatever. And old Snerdly knew a story about somebody named Snerdly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the title he put on his dog tag, so to speak.
Hmm. Did you? What do you think about the caller's claim? It sounds like you're familiar with the Rush Limbaugh show. What do you think about that caller's claim that Limbaugh was some secret racist or was dog whistling to racists on his show?
I think he was one of the biggest-hearted men that ever stepped foot to the microphone, quite frankly. And he was very smart and very witty, and he brought a lot of sunshine to a lot of people's days for a lot of years. He was a good damn man.
There you go. Major, anything else you want to share tonight?
Oh, God, there was another one. Oh, what was it? Elon Musk taking over Twitter, whatnot.
Yeah.
Now all the documents popping out.
Oh, yeah.
They were in collusion with the government for misinformation over the COVID.
Big time. Yep.
I'm thinking this is going to increase your listenership, dude, because people are looking for a place to find the frickin' truth.
I sure hope so, Major. Thank you for the call tonight. Hopefully Elon Musk being, loosening the rules over at Twitter a little bit may result in the Free Talk Live account actually having people seeing what it posts. But generally, that doesn't go so well for us. We've got, 8,400 followers, but almost no one sees what we post there.
Yeah. Did you guys hear that Twitter, Elon Musk just actually... did the opposite thing of what he was saying about, like, opening up, and he's actually started shutting down accounts of news people, reporters.
Yeah, are you talking about there was something a couple few weeks ago where there were some
they
news...
They were reporting his location
this was
in real time.
Within the last couple of days, I thought.
That's new. I had not heard that one, but I did hear about what nobody was saying, which was there were some reporters that were... reporting on this one account that I guess keeps an eye on Elon Musk's location.
Yeah, that's the gist of the story.
Yeah, this is a couple weeks old that you're referring to.
I wonder what the new thing was in the other day.
As I understand it, he restored those people's accounts, including restoring Kathy Griffin's account, who he sort of famously banned early on. But look, the guy is obviously... it's his site, right? So if he gets
absolutely.
Gets in a spat with somebody, if he gets mad at somebody, then he's going to ban their account.
The
right?
lesson to be learned here is obviously stop relying on centralized services and solutions, because this is how problems get started.
Right. I mean, he said that he's in favor of free speech, but then he refuses to unban Alex Jones. And then when asked why, because it was actually Kim.com who confronted him about this, and Kim.com's got a big enough personality to where Elon Musk will, respond to him. So they did have a little bit of a back and forth on this, and Kim.com got Elon Musk to explain why, if you're supposedly this free speech absolutist, as you have claimed to be, why don't you unblock Alex Jones from his account? And Musk said, well, Alex Jones, I'm paraphrasing, obviously, but Alex Jones harmed children or something like that, referring to the court case in Connecticut regarding the school shooting and Alex having the belief at one time that the whole shooting thing was, you know, a government fabrication, et cetera. And so that's what Elon was sort of relying on or leaning on to say that, well, okay, Musk shouldn't be. Yeah, free speech, yes, but no, Alex Jones.
The funny thing is he probably just underestimated the viciousness of the federal government in that he didn't realize that if government wanted a pile of corpses, they wouldn't fake up a shooting. Mm-hmm. They'd just kill a bunch of people.
Yeah.
So, you know, the whole crisis actor thing was,
crazy.
I always thought it was a red herring.
It's just crazy is what it is. I mean, if it's not itself some sort of government misinformation plot, then it's just lunacy, basically, because I agree with you. Like, it's more plausible. Like, there's another version of a conspiracy, right? Like, the other typical conspiracy of the mass shooter is that the government has brainwashed the mass shooter into going and actually doing
that
the shooting.
That strikes me as more likely.
Yes.
Because it's the easiest way not to get caught, because you don't have these, for example, live crisis actors walking around looking exactly like the dead people. And you don't, you know, the only cost to do it is you have to murder some people, and that's not going to bother the government. That's
nope.
like
part they do that
of
all
that's
the time.
Their MO.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. It's yes, it's something might be distasteful, but it's far more dangerous to start banning people or censoring people, you know, than the little bit of harm that it might, you know, feelings being hurt. Effectively, might occur.
Well, I gotta admit, Chris, I did ban a guy from the social.freetalklive.com a few weeks ago, and the reason I banned him is because the dude started reporting other users. I'm like, we don't want snitches around here, so you can go some other server. I got better things to do with my time than deal with these reports that come in because somebody doesn't like what somebody else says. Like, that's what the block button's for, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we actually have something in our terms of service. It's like, you're not welcome if you want to snitch on people.
That's because, hilarious.
Yeah, so and otherwise you can post whatever you want to.
You should hack the snitch button to just show up a screen that instead of taking a report just says block them.
That would be sweet. Unfortunately, there's just so many other things that we should be doing with our time than messing with
I'm not. And just to be clear, I'm not trying to suggest that there's never like a reason to kick somebody off of your service. It's what I'm saying is even if you want them kicked off your service, doesn't necessarily mean that they shouldn't have a service or something to go to. Right?
There are other options.
I think there's a huge difference between the two. Right.
Yeah, I mean, there's literally thousands of Mastodon instances out there. You can find one that is more like you, and then you'll be less likely to be banned from that server. What they are, I don't know. I'm sure you can find some list somewhere.
You certainly didn't ban him from Mastodon.
No, you can't.
Right, exactly, which is the great thing about Mastodon.
But yeah, it would be nice if there was a version of Mastodon out there where somebody stripped out the reporting thing, because we get most of the reports that come in, and they don't happen very often, but most of the reports that come in actually come from people who aren't even on our server. They're reporting someone on our server to us for saying something that they don't like, having an opinion that they don't care for.
That's fine.
And we just ignore
them. And that's something you'd probably want an auto response for, just so you don't just ignore your request. You tell them why it's being ignored.
More coming up.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences. Too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I'm Ben Utek. I played high school, college, and pro football, helping my team win the 2006 championship. It was an amazing day, but it can't compare to the joy I feel every day with my loving wife and three beautiful daughters. My football career ended after I suffered my fifth concussion. Did you know that over a million athletes suffer a concussion each year? That includes boys and girls, every age, every type and level of sport. It isn't always clear that a player has had a concussion, so parents, athletes, and coaches need to learn about concussion signs and symptoms. The American Academy of Neurology recommends athletes thought to have a concussion be immediately removed from play and not returned until assessed by a healthcare professional trained in concussion. This isn't just about sports. It's about your brain. When in doubt, sit it out. Learn more at aan.com/concussion. That's aan.com/concussion. A message from the American Academy of Neurology.